This sermon is brought to you by Shofar Christian Church. We hope that you will be blessed by this message. Our audio and video sermons are also available on Shofar TV to download and share.
I actually do not want to stop the music. It was so beautiful. God showed me a picture of, it was just so awesome, of a cloud that came over this place, and so softly, and I saw like a wind that you have the wind that in science I learned that it's particles that go close and then further from each other, then it makes sound. And I just saw softly God came with his wind into this place, and it's just awesome to experience him like this. Thank you so much, worship team. You facilitated so beautifully. So let's pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, we thank you so much for your kindness, your softness, your peace, your joy, your shelter, your leading us. You are more than special. Often I feel I don't have the words to say to you, Lord, how awesome you are. And thank you so much for your beautiful presence. Thank you so much that we can open our hearts and that we can say, King of Glory, enter in. Open up old ancient gates. And as we sang that, I really felt people's hearts are opening. People's hearts are opening and getting soft, and let you come in, Lord. And you reminded me that it's your goodness that makes us come to you. It's not your reprimanding, it's not anything else, it's because you're so good. And I just want to say thank you. Thank you for your goodness. I pray that you will speak through me what you've given me during this week, Lord. May I speak exactly what you want me to say again, Father, and also please remind me through your Holy Spirit if there's anything you want to add. Have your way, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. It's good being here again. It's awesome when God says, okay, you might preach again. It's a privilege, but it's also a huge responsibility. And I don't think anyone takes it lightly that stands here, because as I always say, I have lots of opinions, but that's not why you came. I can spend longer than a sermon on my opinions, but you came to hear God's word. And God's word for us today is simple, it's plain. And I feel God is saying the seeds still have fruit. The seeds, it's the same seeds that most of us know. It's the same seeds, but it's powerful. And as Yolandi said that with the baptism, we are reminded of our own journey. How was our journey without God, with God? How did it change? How did I react through difficulties in my life now and previously, and perhaps hope to? It's a journey. No one arrives and now you're holy and you know everything and your life is perfect. It's not that story. You know, most children's stories are, and they ever live happily after. Well, welcome to real life. Perhaps the newlyweds still think so. I see you are here back from honeymoon, so welcome. But there's always challenges, and we all have challenges. And as we, I just want to remind ourselves that as we look to one another, remember all of us have stories. All of us have challenges. All of us have different packages that we struggle with and that we have to overcome. So let's dive into a little of the overcoming. When God shared with me the word that I need to share today, overcoming, I said, yes, Lord, you know how much I love this. Because I've learned through my own life how much overcoming there is that's possible. And I think I can't even imagine how much more is possible because of Jesus, because of God, Trinity. So if I, just for clarifications, if I speak of God, I speak of Father, Son, Holy Spirit, the Trinity. Otherwise, I will say the Holy Spirit or the Son. Thank you, Lord, that I will not cough anymore. In the name of Jesus Christ. Okay, we had two sermons on faith, the assurance of faith, and faith last week. And sometimes I ask God, don't you want us to do a series? It sounds so cool. We have this series on Jude or on James or whatever. And then God says to me, but look, there is a series. I'm always in a series. So it's beautiful how you don't need to think, oh, this would be cool. You just ask God and you fall into the series. So today is overcoming because you have faith, most of us. And our faith is sometimes very small and sometimes not so tangible. As we had the worship and says the mountains are huge and everything. Yes, we can see the mountains, we can touch them. But faith, it's difficult to hold. It's difficult to keep in your hand. So let's go on for this. Oh, I wonder if this will work today. What are the challenges in your life? Just think, I thought we would share, but I'm thinking it's going to take too much time. Just think of one challenge in your life that you had or have, that you had to overcome. Perhaps in your early childhood, perhaps you need to be more patient. Perhaps you need to be more persistent. Perhaps you have a terrible job and you hate the people there and you need to get along with them. Perhaps you want to be a father or a mother, and perhaps you are one and you're not happy in this situation. There's always things. Perhaps you know the Bible and God says, forgive one another, and you feel, I cannot forgive, this is too much. It hurt me so much, I will not forgive. So we all have challenges. And my next question is, why do we not go to God for our challenges? What is your reason? Why don't you run to God? Do you not trust Him? Do you not know Him? Do you think you're clever enough yourself? Have you learned to operate without Him through life? Because many things like you have to get up in the mornings, you have to shower or take a bath, you have to put on your clothes, you have to eat, you have to do, and all those things you feel you do in own strength. And all the things that you decide to do, it's your own decisions. So you live actually without God. So to bring God in your circumstances can be challenging. I remember Melinda with our small group. We had a small group there Friday. And I can't remember what I said, but then Melinda said, oh, it was about my driver's license. Man, I need to do the driver's license because my license is not valid in this country, and I have a little fear of failure. I don't know if any one of you have it, but I have that. And I prayed about it and canceled it, but then I said to the small group, I will ask God if I really need to do the driver's license. And then Melinda said, you ask God for everything. Yes. Not what I must eat or something, but I've learned it's the shortcut for me. I've learned this helps me so much. I've learned it's wise decisions. If God tells me to do it, I will take that scripture that Myla sent me, be strong and courageous or something like that. I'm sorry, then I will conquer it. Good. So often we are not used to adding God to our lives. We also don't look to life as if God is in there. And I can say a lot of that, but that changed in me how I looked to life, how I look to the world. And then you do see God in there. Not always so much as what you hoped, but there's overwhelming beauty of God in the world. So, but that's another topic. Okay, let's go to the definition of overcome. It is nikau. I just want to say, yeah, it means subdue, to conquer, to overcome, to prevail, to get victory. Why I've put this definition in here, sometimes when we do evangelize, people say, yeah, but the Bible has been translated so often and so many times, it's not the truth anymore. Every translation, every good translation is going back to the original. The original still exists. We have dictionary Strong's, and there's another one. And when we make sermons, I think I can speak on behalf of everyone who's preaching, you go to the original, because you need to know what was the intention there, what was the true word there. So it's not that it's been translated so often. Yes, because language is alive. So if you have an old translation, it means that was when people spoke that way. But some words we don't use anymore. So then it's nice we're not going to speak in Shakespeare's language. We all need enlightenment if we want to understand what he said. So that's just about the dictionary. So you know it is getting the victory. How do we overcome without God? How do you do it? I think we've learned through life that you don't ask God, does the car need petrol? If it's empty, you rather put in some petrol, or before it's empty, it's perhaps nicer. I think we just try harder. If you failed an exam, how will you recover? Will you go just try harder, study more, or quit? So I think that's often how we do it. If you have a mountain before you, we sometimes call it a mountain or a Goliath, an obstacle before you, you know it has some extra strength, it needs some extra strength to overcome. You will put in some extra effort. If you have to lift this lid, it's quite heavy, so three men needs muscles to lift this thing. So we often overcome by our own strength, by our own how we learn to do stuff, how we were taught, or how we grew, not only grow up with, but how we know it works for me. This works for me. I'm really struggling in the mornings. I'm not an early person, but I can go late on in the evenings. So often when Darkian is sleeping already, then I can do my stuff. And the other day he said, how late did you come to bed? I said, 3:00. Because I'm awake then, I can. But don't ask me 8:00 to be ready. People who have an appointment with me even at 10, you can see I'm coming from the shower now. I have the breakfast in me. So how will I overcome? Yes, I can try really hard. But I think it's also part of me. And at this stage of my age, I can make peace with it because I don't have kids at school anymore. I don't need to give breakfast. I don't need to take them to school. Man, it's a joy to grow older. It's beautiful. Life just gets better. There's a little picture, I don't know where you are now. There's a little picture of how we try to overcome. We take shelter behind an umbrella, very efficient. We try to read the signs. I don't know what signs, but the road signs, your own feelings. And even us as Christians, we often speak, oh, this is the, I feel good to choose this. I feel this is, man, feelings are very dodgy. If you come and do Encounter for the Deliverance, I will tell you that feelings, emotions, thoughts, and your will comes from three places, from God, the enemy, or yourself. So how will you discern if your feeling is really from God? You need to test it. So yeah, we try to, the Mr. Perfect is there left atop. He copes with everything. He's up early in the morning, everything is on time, he has his schedule, and he goes. So some people use then some app on I have a calendar on paper, so I write my dates down and all that. But some people have it on the computer, what you call it? Your planner or whatever. It's this blue little box, isn't it? Well, in any case, sometimes you have a thing on your phone or on your computer to remind you this is your duties for today. It's so good, cool. This last week, Derke and my dear husband, which I love a lot, he works in blocks. I think most men can identify with that. He's in this little square. So he's flying to South Africa for a week on Tuesday, and he needs to take a present for the grandchildren. So I said, yes, he cannot come there without having a present for Abraham. And so he went to the different shops. And he wanted me to come with, I didn't want to. So I said, you can do that job. He went to all the shops. He couldn't find the thing he was looking for. I said, but perhaps there was another thing. No, but I only looked for this. And yesterday evening, we walked a little after the closing time around town. I said, yo, did you go into this toy shop? I didn't plan to go in there. So then you're all in boxes. But if that works for you, be blessed. At least he's focusing that box. Okay, we're going to look at tools, handy to have or good to know. Tools that God has given us, as I said, it is old seeds. It's everything most of you know. So first is discipling or discipline. Most of us know that if you grew up with no discipline, it is really tough. If there was no boundaries in your house, I hope no one of you have that experience or had that experience, that everything was cool and everything was fine. You could eat when you want, what you want. You could go to bed when you want, when you want to, everything. So discipline brings structure, but it brings also rootedness, and it makes you feel taken care of, in a sense. You belong. You belong when there's structure, and you know inside this it is safe. So the Bible, I only took a very few scriptures, because otherwise we will be too long. Okay, but Proverbs 22 verse 6 says, train up a child in the way he should go, even when he is old he will not depart from it. This is a commandment. Okay? So sometimes I get the feeling of some people that they think if you have children, God makes them grow and makes them be discipled or disciplined. It is your job. If you are a parent, you need to do that. And you need to do that well, how God wants. Specifically one of my daughters-in-law, we have three sons and all three are married, she does homeschooling, so the children doesn't go to school, she teaches them at home, and when we are there, then I see how it goes. It's, you know. But every morning, she has time with the Bible, with the kids. So she reads them a story, they discuss it, they interact it, they talk about it, they talk of it, and it makes it practical. It makes that you learn everything, all your social skills you learn there. How to be kind, how to forgive, how to be a helper, how to look out for others, how to not be selfish. It's all social skills, but it's all in the Word. It's all in the Bible. So all of those topics come when you're honest, trustworthy. And one thing that was so cool to me is how to say no in a kind way, but have your boundaries. So then they will say to each other, "No, I don't like it when you do that to me." Then I think, well done, I didn't have those boundaries. But we need them. We need to be able to say to someone, "No, I'm not in agreement if you treat me like this." Sometimes we go as victims and we think this is the way Christians need to be. Okay, you can step on me. You will not step on me. Because God is our King. Yeah. Then also in Proverbs 29, verse 17, "Discipline your son and he will give you rest and he will give delight to your heart." I can just say out of experience, me and Darken chose that I will be a stay-at-home mom. So I left my career and I stayed home with the 3 kids. Was it nice always? No, of course not. But is your job nice always? Also not. So it's just where you think your priorities are. And I felt my priorities is at home, and Darken, we were in agreement. And I think with a lot of grace of God, but also because they were nurtured well, it was a safe place, I was available. Then those days we had that theory, is it quality time or quantity of time? I can tell you it's quantity. You can choose to say, okay, between 4 and 5, I'll play football with my son. Between 4 and 5, he's not into mood. He doesn't have the mood to play now football. Yeah, but that was your quality time now with him. It doesn't happen like that. When he fell out of the tree, he wanted you there. When his girlfriend said goodbye to him and he's heartbroken, he wanted you to be there to say, perhaps there won't come another girlfriend. But it was worth it. All 3 of them are rooted and grounded in God. They have godly families. It's really true what the Word says here. It will give you delight in your heart. So it's just beautiful. There's even a Proverbs 23:13. I didn't put it up. Discipline prevents you from death. Death is the payment of sin is death. So if you do not learn what is right and what is wrong according to God's word, it will not bring you life. It will lead eventually to death. And discipline in the dictionary of the Strong's, the dictionary for the Bible, is G4995. It says self-control. So self-control. We all need self-control. Okay, how is discipling with adults? This is a beautiful verse. I'm just going to read it. You will get it. "And have you forgotten the exhortation that addresses you as sons? My son, do not regard lightly the discipline of the Lord. Not be weary when reproved by him. For the Lord disciplines the one he loves and chastises every son whom he receives. It is for discipline that you have to endure. God is treating you as a son. For what son is there whom his father does not discipline? If you are left without discipline, in which all have participated, then you are illegitimate children and not sons." As I said, it brings a belonging. If God is into you, if God loves you, and you phone him, you pray, and you ask him, he will come and share with you. "Renee, perhaps you were not so kind to that person. Renee, I do not want you to do that that step. Don't choose that. Go there. In intercession, we prayed for the church that we must rent in Nijmegen. God said, don't go with other religions. So don't rent a church from another religion. He guides us. Why? We can do our own choice, but I can tell you, it's more blessed to do his choice. So, also when it's going tough, once two times I prayed for someone, or I thought I have a super cool idea, and I told this person that, and then I came home, and God said, that is not what I wanted you to share to this person. That is not where I am with this person. And then I said, I'm so sorry, I thought it was a really good idea. It was not. And then I had to phone this person back, because God loves that person so much, and I am responsible also for the advice I give, or guidance, so that it will be clearly in God's will. Because that the word that God gave me would be more blessed to that person than mine own thoughts. God knows the inner thoughts, everything. So I can only see what I see in front of me and think a little. But God knows the depth. So yeah, if we are reprimanded, or if you do not communicate with God, you will not experience this. But sometimes God will tell you, don't go there. I remember a guy, he was still a student. He wanted to drink with his student friends. But God said to him, don't do that. But you feel so lonely, and you feel not too part, and you want to be part. After one beer, he started vomiting. And then later he had a testimony of it, that he was baptized before he went to university, and he thinks it's the baptism that kept him away. Could be, but was not God's heart for him to be drunk. What's not God's heart for him to join those drinking sprees? It's not wrong to drink, but it's wrong to be drunk. No? So, and that is the difference. Okay. Revelation 3 verse 16. So because you are lukewarm and neither hot nor cold, I will spit you out of my mouth. It's God speaking to the churches. Those whom I love, I reprove and discipline. So be zealous and repent. Repent means sincere, serious intention to turn away from what you've thought or wanting to do or did. Lukewarmness, rather choose then not God. No, that's the wrong advice. No, always choose God. It is just the best. But to be lukewarm and think you're fine, it's a lie. It is not the truth. You're lukewarm. And God, you're either for God or not. To say, yes, I'm kind of in, often with evangelism, people say, yeah, but I'm not going to choose Jesus, but I don't say he's not existing, but you're, so they want to keep all the options open. The thing is with that, you chose against Jesus. You chose against God. That is unfortunately the thing. You think you are safe because you have not made the wrong decision. You have made the wrong decision. You didn't choose. And sometimes people do not understand that. So, okay. Let's go on. The first one was discipling and discipline. The second one is authority. Also a favorite that I learned in church. We have natural authority as parents. We have authority earned by studying or promotion. And God gives us authority. So I want to speak a little on the authority God has given us. So when I grew up, I learned to pray to God and said, Lord, will you please be with me during this holiday, or will you please be with me through the exams? You know, God promised us he's never leaving or forsake us, so he is with us. So why do we say, be with me? Do we not believe what he's saying in his word? It's a wrong way of praying, actually. He says, I'm with you. Please, Lord, be with me. No. Then actually you have a lack of faith. Or you don't trust what the word says. No? So we have authority. And what does that authority mean? It is... I still want to say something. Sometimes if someone gives you authority or say, okay, you have the privilege now to go some... what can I say? But you didn't earn it. It was just given to you. Then often you do not value it. Strangely enough, we are like that. If it's for free and you can just get it, we don't value it. But if you've worked very hard for your car or for your success, your diploma or grade, then you know you earned it. It's more valuable to you. But because when you choose Jesus, the rest is for free, we often do not value it. So the authority God has given us is for free. It's because you chose Jesus. No? So the authority is over the enemy. What is the enemy? It is all the tricks and the things of Satan. I grew up in a church where they said, don't focus on the enemy, that is Satan. Just focus on God and you will be fine. You know, there's a war in Ukraine. If you just focus on God, the enemy will overturn you. He will kill you. And you will just think you're with God. If you don't know the enemy, how can you fight him? If you don't know if he comes with soldiers, foot soldiers, or cannons, or he comes with planes, or he poisons the air, or whatever strategy, you cannot take measures. And God says, I've given you authority to trample on scorpions and serpents. I think that's Luke 10:19. But this first one is, okay, I'll come back to this first one. God has given us authority to reign over the enemy, to reign over the lies, to reign over you want to kill someone. You cannot. It's not God's heart. You cannot do an abortion. It's killing a baby. God will help you to not do that. God will. You have to reign over those thoughts. This is my passion, as you can hear. it is to reign over the enemy. It is an authority God has given us over your mind, your emotions, your will. If it's not from God, you reign over it and you command it to go. If you struggle with bitterness or with unforgiveness, ask God to help you to forgive and get rid of the bitterness because you have authority to speak over it. No? In Luke 20, verse 1 and 2, even Jesus was challenged with authority. The grand people asked him one day, as Jesus was teaching the people in the temple and preaching the gospel, the chief priests and the scribes with the elders came up and said to him, tell us, by what authority you do these things? Or who is it that gave you this authority? So they were even questioning, in what authority do you come? Of course, Jesus was not fazed. He asked them a question back, as what his way was doing always, or mostly. The baptism of John, is it from man or is it from heaven? Now, this was a tricky one for them, because if they would say it's from man, then they will not acknowledge that John the Baptist was from God. And they actually knew he was from God. But if they say it's from heaven, then the people will be angry. If they said it's from heaven, why would they then they would oppose it. So if they opposed John the Baptism, if it was from heaven, they were supposed to be believers. Yeah? So then that would defile the purpose. If it was from man, many people were baptized, and they were fear of being stoned. So they had fear of people. I hope it's a little clear now. I mixed it up a little. Fear of man, definitely a no-go for God. You fear God and nothing else. You don't need to fear people. Good. Then Luke 10:19, I've spoken about it. Behold, I've given you authority to tread on serpents and scorpions and all over the power of the enemy, and nothing shall hurt you. So the serpents and scorpions are painful stuff. They are not nice. They can kill you or they can bring a lot of hurt. But it is the symbol of the enemy. So God says, I've given you dominion. You have the authority. And in Genesis 1 verse 26, it says, also have dominion over the earth, reign. In deliverance, you see a lot of things. And even your own faith is being built, because when you see, once there was a lady and she wanted to run out of the house. I could see she was so scared for this deliverance. But it's the enemy that makes you scared, because they do not want to get out of you. So all Christians, most of us, we have some little demons in us. We need to be delivered from that, okay? It's not that they possess us, but they make life tough. And this lady, she came. She was a few times there. She just wanted to run. And then as my friend grabbed her and brought her back, and she sat on a chair without armrests or something. It was just a flat seat. And I said, in the name of Jesus Christ, I bind you to this chair with chains. Can I see the chains? No, of course. I cannot. Do I know it was there? No, I don't know. I hope so. And then after she was delivered, she said, you know, I was tied with chains. Angels came to put chains around me. I could not move. And then I think, yes, Lord, at least you kept her safe. At least we could get rid of these stupid things that she was struggling with. It's just you have authority. Sometimes you see those things, those videos, then it's this guy and he has this black cape on and he's all into his sorcery stuff, and I don't know exactly what they do, Satanism or whatever. And then they challenge this Christian guy. This Christian guy just speak to those demons and they have to obey. He will not be able to attack you. He will not be able to kill you. Sometimes in deliverance, they say, I hate you. I want to kill you. I know they want, because they must go now. And they don't want to go. If I get those answers, then it's great, because I know we're on the right track. They must not like me. But you have authority. You bind them. They cannot attack you. So there's lots of things in the spirit realm that God has given us authority. Do we earn that authority? No. But it's for free. But it's strong. It's powerful. It's really powerful. You don't miss. You don't miss with that. Okay, then we have faith. I've spoken a little on faith already. Sometimes, faith is a thing that grows. Faith is not something that you can contain. You cannot say, if I drink 10 beers or 10 cups of coffee or whatever, I will have good faith now. You cannot eat it. You cannot consume it. You don't, But is there anything that you stood in faith for, that you trusted God for, really, really trusted God for? Was there anything that you could not organize yourself or manipulate yourself or buy yourself or do yourself, that you know it's not your own power? Is there anything? If not, you never challenged this faith thing. I had to learn it on a very old age. So you are much younger than me. And you can learn it. It's scary, but God said, and we sang it, He is faithful, He is trustworthy. Do you believe the word? Then you must apply it. So sometimes there was things in my life that I could not do, and then I stood in faith for that, and I call it, you walk on water. It's like that Peter guy that wanted to walk on water. Eventually he sank because his faith was too little. I don't think I would have walked on water. But you walk on water because you cannot touch ground. It's not by your own means. And when that happens, man, you cheer. And you're so happy that it happened. And all your stress is gone. And you can just thank God. But your faith grows. Next time you trust a little better. Next time it's a little easier. So ask God. For what can you stand in faith? It will be challenging, but it's so great when it happens. Because God is a good God. He wants you to grow in faith. He wants you to trust Him. Why do we pray if we don't trust Him? Because we think it's a cool idea, or perhaps some angels will come. If you do not trust God, why do you pray? We need to stand in faith. So this church that God said we must start in Nijmegen, I have no clue how it will work. It's His church. He told me this is His church. That will also be His church. But I will... Is it my problem? No, it's not. It's God's problem. He must make it. But I will be faithful. I will do what He asked me to do. Because in faith, I know this will make the church grow. This will make the church be planted. This will be the right spot. Because I've learned to trust God. I've learned to trust His guidance more than my own understanding. And I can just share with you that it's a very wonderful place to be. It saves you energy and stress and lots of options that you have to look at. You just go straight to God and He says, okay, Renee, left. And then you go left. It's as easy as that. Life is really much more peaceful because you don't have that struggle. Do I go left? Do I go straight? What is the best? What is the best? You know, I married Derkjan. We were not so holy. We did believe in Jesus, but we were not so sold out for God and had a relationship with God. But I'm one of the things I married Derkjan was because he could make quick decisions, much quicker than me. But after 2 years, I realized he doesn't take all the options in mind, or what you call it. So then I regretted that I thought this was now a cool thing of Derkjan. So now I had to forgive him and I had to learn to live with it. But if you go to God, you get the right answer. And you don't need to say, I have told you. I never said that to Derkjan, but I wish I could. Haven't I told you this is not the right thing? It's not a good thing for a wife to say that to a man. He's the head of the house and he needs to make the decisions, the last decision. He can take your input, but it's also a scary place to be in, to have that authority, because God is going to come to the husbands and tell you, what did you do? And if you chose wrong, God will not say, I have told you. So it's terrible enough for the men if they made a wrong decision. So just back then. And say, okay, let's pray more. let's hear from God. Let's first go to God. Okay, that's faith. Practice your faith. Joshua, in Joshua 1 verse 9, have I not commanded you? Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened and do not be dismayed. For the Lord your God is with you wherever you go. In Hebrews... the advice is keep your life free from love of money, and be content with what you have. For He has said, I will never leave or forsake you. Why money? Money is a trap. I can tell you, money, we all need money because this is the currency of the world. We need money to pay our rent and to buy clothes and to eat and to go everywhere. But if you long for too much money, more money, no one is rich enough. It's a trap. It starts to be your God or your idol. And then your joy goes away. When we moved here, We still had our house in the country where we come from, and we thought it's kind of a pension, because the pension schemes in that country is very poor. Or in any case, Derkan didn't take out a private one, and he always had his own business, so yeah. And then God said to me, you must sell your house. I said, no, it is our pension money. He says, you don't trust me. I said, no, I don't trust you. But I repent. So I repented, and I went to Derkan. He said, yes, he already heard from God. We need to do it. We were not actually overjoyed with this thing we had to do. We put it in the market. It was within a week sold. So, you know, it was the right time. But, you know, we don't have any maintenance anymore. We don't have to worry if people break down your place that you rented out. You don't need to pay water and electricity. And even if the person didn't pay that month, you still have to pay erfbelasting, what you call it. In any case. So it is actually much nicer without the house. Because you've less trouble. It's also when we immigrated here, God said with a suitcase, so we had our two suitcases. So I told my children, and we divided it kind of, but one was living in England. And I said, well, now we can die, because everything, there's no inheritance anymore, everything is done. But it's also nice. In a sense, it gives you so much freedom. You are not so stuck into your things. Oh, I've worked so hard for this table, or there was a washing machine, or whatever. It is easy to live like this, actually. Okay, that was faith. God says, I'm always with you. Then we have prayer. We had discipline, discipling, authority, faith, prayer. I already asked you, why do you pray if you don't believe in God? If you don't believe he's going to do it? It all links to faith as well. The prophets asked God often what left, right. Even the kings went to the prophets to say, okay, tell me, what does God say? Moses often prayed to God. In Acts 10, it's not on there, Acts 10 verse 13, Cornelius, God spoke to him and he said, Cornelius, your prayer has been heard. Often we think our prayers are not heard, or we are really not serious about our prayers. We think, oh, please be with us, protect us, guide us. But we're not really into it, that we want to listen to what is God saying. So perhaps sometimes we must keep quiet so that we can hear the answer. Prayers are powerful. You have authority through the prayers as well. And this is James 5, verse 15 and 16. And the prayer of faith will save the one who is sick, and the Lord will raise him up. And if he has committed sins, he will be forgiven. Therefore, confess your sins to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The prayer of a righteous person has great power as it is working. I've seen in deliverance how prayers is like God's magic. It's just wonderful how it works. And if you know it is, it helps to communicate with God, you will expect God to answer and to give you a guidance. Also for healing, I've prayed for 10 people, not one got healed. Yeah, if you didn't pray, they also didn't get healed. So just ask God why. Why didn't they heal? I pray often for myself. I still struggle with some stuff. It didn't heal. But I did pray for a few people and they did heal. Miraculously, things that changed, a leg that started to grow and was the same length as the other one. One could not bend his knee straight, and we prayed for it and it got straight. And sometimes people have pain, we pray and it leaves. So yes, definitely, the prayer is powerful. If you don't pray, nothing will happen. Endurance, we need endurance. Like you sitting now here and listening to me, you need endurance. You need to stay and be seated and be quiet. But endurance is in life without God, and with God also there's endurance. But it builds faith and it builds trust. And it makes you, when you've passed that and it comes to pass what you endured for, you value it. You said, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. We did it. Therefore, since we are surrounded by so a great cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. This is Paul, I think. And yeah, we need to stay focused on the end goal. The earth is not our permanent place. We know there's a place after this. So yes, we need God's guidance and everything, yeah, but after earth, we go to heaven with him, those who've chosen for him. Hebrews 10 verse 36, for you have need of endurance, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what is promised. And then Paul also says in 2 Timothy 4 verse 7, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. Receive, and I will receive the crown of righteousness. It is an endurance. Life is not easy. Life is for no one easy. Some people have it more difficult than others, but it's definitely easier with God. With all the gifts he's given us, this is only a few. Good, we're closing, nearly closing. The power. We have power and authority because of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ died on the cross, and because of that, he overcame, and we can be set free. We can have connection with, when the Holy Spirit came, connection with God, to speak to him individually. It's beautiful what God has done. So, the Romans 8 verse 37, no. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. We are not victims. We are victorious. You know, when I had gluten allergy, and then I went to a course that said the spiritual roots of diseases, and that guy told me it's because I have fear, and fear of a broken heart, a fear of rejection. Then I thought, man, well, in any case, after all it was true. But that victim mentality, because people are not nice to me, I had a broken heart. No? But people is not my identity. God is my identity. He created me. He chose who I would be. This length, this height, white skin, whatever. This is what God planned for this body, for me, for Renee. He planned something different for you. But to play the victim, God will never make you victim. It's a lie that you are a victim. Yes, people can be rude to you. That's true. People are not always nice. Remember, they are also broken, and they all have baggage dragging along. And if they've never been through deliverance, they even carry extra luggage. But we are victorious. Why? Because Jesus overcame. Jesus overcame. He overcame death. He rose from the dead. There is no stronger power than God's power. When you read a book, it's about evangelism in different countries, and then you see Africa is more on the power gifts. If your spirit that you believe in is more powerful than the local spirits, then they will go for that one. In the Western world, we say Jesus paid for our sins. No, it's a guilt thing. And in the Asian countries, it's for your shame. Jesus had all the shame of the world on him, and he died for that. So it's beautiful how in all three different ways of growing up in the world, Jesus has overcome. He overcame shame. He overcame that you have to pay for your sins, that you have to go to court, and man, you're guilty. And he's the most powerful. It's wonderful. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus Christ. And then 1 John 4, little children, you are from God and have overcome them, for he who is in you is greater than he who is in the world. If you don't realize this, you haven't practiced it. I will not say that you need to ask to practice it, because then there will come a challenge. That will not be so easy, but we are overcomers with God. God can help you through everything. We sang it in the fire, in the storm, in the war. Do you believe it? Yes, he is with us. It's beautiful. It's so such a reassurance. And this, to discern from the world, this was in John 1 verse 4, is discerning of, it's not really discerning of spirits. He says, you can discern. If someone cannot say, Jesus is the Son of God and he was born by a virgin Mary on earth and he died for our sins, then you know he's not in the same team as you, if he cannot say that. There was a guy on the streets, and man, he was sleeping out 2 days on the streets, and as we evangelized, I went with Mark, as we evangelized, Mark spoke, and I was so tired that day. I had deliverance and I was really exhausted. And I said, my words are finished. And then suddenly something said to me, and I know it's the Holy Spirit, ask this guy if he wants to accept Jesus Christ. I said, oh, Lord. So when I heard it the second time, I think, yes, Lord. Do you want to give your heart to Jesus Christ? Because we spoke now 30 minutes about Jesus. He says, yes. I said, but he doesn't look like the normal guy. No, he looks really so, and looks deceived, I know. And then I said, can you repeat after me? Jesus is the Son of God, da 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 da. Just like that. So you know, he really wanted to. He really wanted to give his heart to Jesus, and we could pray for that. And then Mark even went further, because he was hospitalized for delusions, or what you call it, hallucinations. He says, shall we pray for you for that as well? I said, Mark, deliverance on the street. So we prayed for that. It's just how beautiful God is. And it was calm, and it was quiet. It was beautiful. I hope I see him again. God just does it. It's so amazing. Good. The last one is nearly the last one. The armor. I'm not going to exhort too much on the armor. I think most of us know it. It's the helmet. The helmet of salvation. Isn't that beautiful? The helmet is our thinking. Where our thoughts, our feelings, and every, yes, we say we feel with our hearts, but the helmet is here. We need that helmet. Help me, Father, with the thoughts. Help me. So put on the helmet of salvation. We need that. The breastplate of righteousness, the girdle of truth, the shield of faith. Sometimes fiery darts come and they want to target you. And they say, what do you believe? Nonsense. Do you really think this God thing is right? Man, it's a fantasy. You put up your shield. And you say, God is trustworthy. He is the truth. I cancel every lie in the name of Jesus Christ. Sometimes we just need to do that. The word of God, the sword, it's often very powerful if you can quote scripture. Reminded now of every knee will bow. Every knee will bow underneath God. So if there's things that stand up, you will submit to God. The Bible says every knee will bow. The truth is in the Bible. The truth is that scripture. And it's powerful if you can quote that. And then what is the word of God? Shoes. Preparedness of peace. Yeah. Willingness. The last scripture is Revelation 12. And they have conquered him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of the testimony, for they loved not their lives even unto death. We often use that the blood of the Lamb, because of Jesus, we can be free also in deliverance and have authority and all these things. And Yeah, the blood, if you have that pictures, the next one, Femi, the pictures, the blood. There's so much to say about the blood. And those who have done encounter, you've seen a small clip of this blood, the sacrificial blood. It helps you a little. So we've come to the end. These was things that most of you know. That is, it's not revelation knowledge. But it is things that God has given us to overcome. And I hope there was one or two facts that make you think, this is, I can grow in this. I can trust more. I can overcome better. If you have experienced one of these or have a testimony of one of these, share it with people. We are building each other up when we have testimonies that we can share. It helps us. Yes. So we will have baptism just now. I'm going to pray. And then if there's anyone who needs prayer, the ladies, I hope Blessing is available, or Julia, that you can go to Blessing and Julia, perhaps when you need prayer. And for the men, Urbanus, will you be able? Will you? Thank you. Okay, I'm going to pray. Heavenly Father, Almighty God, thank you that you've given us so many things to overcome. This is just a few of them. Thank you, Father, that we can trust you, that you're trustworthy, that you're faithful, that you say you will never leave or forsake us. Thank you, Lord, that we know that if you've promised it in the past, it is still counting today. That the Bible is still the same Bible, that the Word is still the same. It didn't change. You didn't change. You're still into us. You still love us. You want to guide us. You want to help us. You want us to learn to know you and to love you and to walk in your ways, Father. I pray that you will help us in this. And I thank you. I thank you for all those who have overcome little things, big things. And also I feel, Father, that perhaps there's someone who is wondering, how can I give my heart to Jesus? How can I say, yes, I want to be part of. I want also to be taken care of, be nurtured, be part of Jesus and what he has for us. So, Father, if there's anyone, I pray that this person will come to the front and will be bold and say, here I am. No one of us can do it on our own. And we all had to step to the front and say, here I am, Lord, I choose you now. And I pray for every person that's heart is now being stirred through your Holy Spirit. It's eventually your goodness that leads us to repentance. It's your goodness that bring us to the understanding that without you is perhaps not such a good idea. I need you. I need to be part of Jesus. Thank you, Lord, for stirring hearts. Thank you, Lord, that we will overcome our own fear, our own intimidation of being intimidated by people, or that we think there's shame or it doesn't look cool. It doesn't make those things are irrelevant. It's really about you and eternal value of our relationship with you, and that we are part of you, Father, in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening. Remember that our sermon audio and videos are also available on Shofar TV. Go to www.shofaronline.tv to download and share.